For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The God-Centered Life, as we pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
The life of the flesh creates the mind of the flesh. If my body is ruling, if I am body, soul, and spirit, and the body is ruling, then my mind is under the control of my body, and what I am thinking about is the body needs. That's what occupies my thinking. What shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? If I am living the new life after the Spirit, a God-centered life, then I have the mind of the Spirit. And I'm thinking about God and my relationship with Him. My love for Him, His love for me. Worshiping Him. Aware of Him, conscious of Him, in all the little things around me, God-conscious. Oh, what glory it is to have a mind quickened by the Spirit of God. Heaven above, a deeper blue. Earth around, a deeper green. Something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. I never saw that before. The beauty of the flower. The glory of the colors. The fragrance. The mind quickened by the Spirit. We become aware of God and just all around us, as Paul declared ultimately, in Him we live, we move, we have our being, and I begin to be aware of that. I'm surrounded by God. And my heart living in worship and fellowship with Him day by day. The mind of the Spirit resulting from the life of the Spirit, a life that is controlled by the Spirit, a life that is a God-centered life. Now, that's why Christ died for you. That you might be freed from the bondage of corruption, the bondage of your flesh, that you might be able now to live a whole new life in a new dimension, in the dimension of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and joy and peace. Now, for this cause, Jesus died, that we should henceforth not live to ourselves, but live for Him who died for me and rose again. And so, as Paul the Apostle said, for me to live is Christ. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And yet it is not I, but Christ who is living in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. That we should no longer live unto ourselves, but now live for Him who died for us and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. From now on, Paul said, I'm not concerned in the fleshly man. The exploits, whatever. I'm not concerned in knowing a man after the flesh. Though this is how he said, I once knew Christ. At one time, Jesus Christ was to Paul the Apostle a heretic, a leader of a new sect that was a threat to Judaism. And he went about to stamp out this new sect. He once knew Christ after the flesh. But no more, he said. That's not the way I know him now. He now knows him after the Spirit, and he has received that life and power from him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation, and the old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. These are direct positive statements. Now, John tells us that many times a person can say something, but yet their life isn't in harmony with what they're saying. It is possible for a man to make glorious professions. And as you go through the first epistle of John, you'll find over and over, John says, if a man says he abides in him, then he ought to also walk even as he walked. If you're abiding in Christ, you're going to walk like Jesus walked. If you say you're abiding in Christ and you're walking after the flesh, you're a liar. You're deluded. You're living in deception, self-deception. If a man says, I love God, oh, what a glorious thing to say. But if at the same time you hate your brother, you're a liar. How can you love God whom you have not seen and yet hate your brother who was made in his image whom you have seen? If a man says, hey, I have no sin, then you deceive yourself. The truth isn't in you. And so all the way through, John's giving us little things that men profess. But he's saying, hey, you're only fooling yourself. You're deceiving yourself. It isn't what you profess, it's what you are. And if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, and the old things have passed away. And if the old things have not passed away, then you have no real proof that you're in Christ, no matter what you say. Your professions are empty and false and deceptive, and the tragedy is you're the one who is deceived the most. So many people in church are deceived into thinking that their attendance at church is going to buy them a place in the kingdom of God. Their giving to the church is going to secure their place in heaven. Their faithfulness to the church. Church attendance, church membership, church contributions cannot do anything towards your eternal life. And these things can be a deception. Oh, well, I pray. Well, Isaiah said that God's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated you from God. And if you are regarding iniquity in your heart, the Lord doesn't even hear you. It's like cutting the telephone line that comes to your house. And then going in and dialing the number and talking to your sweetheart and telling her how much you love her and all the glorious things you think about her. Well, it's not going anywhere. You've got a broken connection. It's going into the ground. The wire is grounded outside. And no matter how beautiful or persuasive you may be expressing yourself, your heart, your love, not doing anything, not getting any results. And so prayer. If you're regarding sin in your heart, sin breaks your connection with God. And prayer is meaningless. Oh, it's worse than that. It's deceptive because you have a tendency to still rest on the fact, well, I pray. You know, I know I'm not doing what I should. I know I'm not living like that. But I still pray. But prayer becomes, in that case, a deceptive thing. It's the changed life. It's the new life manifested by the fact that the old things are passed away. You cannot continue to live after the flesh and walk after the flesh. The life of the flesh and the life of the spirit are mutually exclusive. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you're going to reap. And if you sow to the spirit, of the spirit you will reap. But the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And Paul gives us that horrible list, the works of the flesh, of which unfortunately we are all too familiar. Strife, envy, deceit, murders, lies, fornication, adultery. But Paul said, let no man think that if he is doing these things, he is going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. You better read that list over again. Read it prayerfully. And read Paul's conclusive remarks. If you are living after the flesh, don't think you're going to inherit the spiritual kingdom of heaven. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Have they? That's the question. Let a man examine himself, because you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And if you will judge yourself now, then you will not be judged then. How much time do you spend living after the spirit, and how much time do you spend living after the flesh? He's a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. All things are now of God. Not some of the things of my life. Well, God has his place. I believe that God should have his, have the place in every man's life, and every man should make a place for God. No, he wants more than a place in your life. He wants the totality of your life. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, some people talk about God being reconciled to us. Never. God didn't leave us. God didn't turn his back and go away from us. We are the ones that need to be reconciled to God. We're the ones that turned our back on him and walked away from him. We're the ones that need the reconciliation. And so Paul's plea, and he said, I'm doing it in Jesus' place, in his stead. As for God, I'm doing it. I'm an ambassador, a representative of God. I'm speaking on his behalf, in his stead. Be ye reconciled unto God. So this glorious work of reconciliation, God in his love created man in his image, in his government of light and life, that man might live in fellowship with God and know the glory, the joy, the beauty of living in fellowship with God. But man turned from that, turned his back on God, walked away from God. And he began to experience the miseries of life without God, the emptiness, the hopelessness, the despair of life without God. And God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for man's sins in order that through the death of Christ, man might be brought back to God or reconciled to God. And so Paul said, I'm God's ambassador. And I'm here representing Jesus Christ. And I'm saying for him, be ye reconciled to God. Come back into fellowship with God. Come back into the government of light and life. Know again the joy, the glory, the blessing of walking in the Spirit, the life of the Spirit, the life after the Spirit. For God has made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Here is one of the most glorious scriptures in the New Testament. As we see what God has done for us in Christ in reconciling us to himself. All we like sheep had gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own ways, and God laid on him the iniquities of us all. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. I sometimes start to read in the paper some horrible, vicious crime that has been committed, and I just can't read it. My being just revolts against it too strongly. I sometimes have been given reports from the social welfare department of child abuse and some of the things that are done to these little 1, 2, 3-year-old babies. And when I read of some of the abuses of these little children, I have to quit reading. I can't stand it. My system just won't take it. I just have to set it aside. I get sick. I cannot conceive a person doing such horribly ugly, vile things. And my whole being just is revolted by it. And I'm not that righteous a person. I have my own flaws. I've done some pretty terrible things myself. Jesus knew no sin. Absolutely pure. Absolutely holy. Absolutely righteous. But God laid on him every horrible, vile deed that has ever been done by perverted, fallen man. Now, can you imagine what a shock that must have been? No wonder he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he tasted of death for every man, that separation from God, that spiritual death, that cry that came from his lips upon the cross was made in order that you might not have to make it for eternity. There, as God laid upon him our sins, he was reconciling man to God. And so he became what we were in order that he might make us what he is. Love divine, all loves excelling, the love of Jesus Christ, who was willing to take all of my ugliness, all of my sin, and bear in his body, there on the cross, my sins. The love of God, who was willing to allow his Son to become sin for us, he who knew no sin, and die in our place. Now you see why the greatest sin that any man can ever commit is the sin of rejecting this love of God offered to him through Jesus Christ. You see, that's the only sin for which a man will ever be judged. You won't have to face the great white throne judgment of God because you were a cheat, a thief, a liar, a prostitute, a murderer, an adulterer, fornicator. You'll face the great white throne judgment of God if you have rejected the love of God offered to you through Jesus Christ. That's the greatest sin. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. And he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, seeing he has not believed on the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light came into the world, but men would not come to the light. That's what it's going to be. God has offered salvation, but you didn't take it. God has offered love, but you rejected it. No hope. For there remains no further or no other sacrifice. There's nothing else you can do for the atoning of your sins, for being reconciled to God. No other way you can be reconciled to God. That's why Satan hates the cross. That's why your cults hate the cross. That's why the liberals hate the cross. The cross declares to mankind there is only one way by which you can be reconciled to God. And that's through the cross and the death of Jesus Christ. And if you reject that, there remains no other sacrifice, only the fearful looking forward to of the fire indignation of the wrath of God, which will devour his adversaries. For if they that despise Moses' law died because of the witness of two or three, of how much worse punishment suppose ye he to be accounted worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of his covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite to the Spirit of grace. For we know him who has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And again, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. I'll tell you what, if I were God and did that much to redeem man, offering my son and giving my son, and man would reject and cast him aside and do despite to that Spirit of grace, I would do as God does, and God will do. I would say, you want to live in darkness? That shall be your sentence. And I would cast you into outer darkness throughout eternity, which God is going to do to the fearful and the unbelieving. Those who fail to receive his grace and offers of love through Jesus.
Get ready to journey through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation with one of the most trusted Bible teachers of our time, Pastor Chuck Smith. Digitally remastered T2000 series, topical Bible teachings recorded Sunday mornings live at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa between 1979 and 1985. These timeless messages are now available in a convenient portable format. The T2000 series includes 271 MP3 audio files stored on an easy-to-use 8GB reusable flash drive. Learning from Pastor Chuck is simple. Just insert the flash drive into your computer, transfer the files, and you're ready to listen anywhere. Upload the teachings to your phone or smart device and take Pastor Chuck's clear, powerful Bible teaching with you on the road, at home, or wherever God leads you. And yes, the flash drive is completely reusable for your personal storage needs. Order your T2000 flash drive today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. The T2000 series, timeless truth, powerful teaching, ready when you are. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you. May the Lord watch over you and keep you in his love and in his grace. May the Lord cause you to abound in every good work for Jesus Christ. And may the Lord grant to you new dimensions of relationship with him, that you might become more keenly aware of his presence with you and his power to help you. May God bless you. May you have just a fruitful, blessed week walking with Jesus Christ.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 2 Corinthians on our next broadcast. As Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 2 Corinthians 5. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.